If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 to 18. As we continue in our series, Here Comes the Sun, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Paul writes, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. And I just thank you, Lord, so much for the promise of the rapture, that it is real and that it is coming. And I pray, Lord, that every single one of us hearing this message this morning would be ready for it whenever it happens. Pray to come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. About a month before Sue and I moved up here to Fox River to start pastoring this church, we went to a funeral in Danforth, Illinois for a man named Reiner Voigt, one of the brothers of Sue's great aunt. Went to the funeral service, and then afterwards we got in the car line to go to the cemetery, and just so happened our car stopped right next to the casket and the grave. Got out, went through the burial service, got back in the car, but right before the line started moving, all of a sudden a big old gust of wind came along, blew the lid of that casket wide open, and there was Reiner Voigt himself, bigger than life, right next to our car, looking like he was going to get up and fly away any second. And Sue and I started freaking out because we thought the rapture happened and we missed it. Come to find out, the funeral director just forgot to lock the casket. So we hadn't missed the rapture at all. And Christians, listen to me. You're not going to miss it either. Because the rapture is the very next thing on God's timeline for the end times. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series called Here Comes the Sun, looking at all the major events and God's plan for the last days leading up to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at the first thing on the timeline, and that was the church age. And today we look at the second thing on the timeline, and that's the rapture of the church. And to see that, we turn today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 to 18. All through the book of Thessalonians, Paul has been writing these Christians all kinds of things about the rapture of the church. And in our text today, he tells them it's still to come, so they shouldn't have to worry that they're going to miss it. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today we need to know about the rapture and be ready for it so that we don't end up missing it either. Our text this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, tells us three things that we need to understand about the rapture so we are ready for it whenever it happens. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to understand about the rapture is what it is. And that is exactly what Paul is telling us here in verses 13 to 18. And I realize there's people here in this sermon right now saying, "Kevin, we've seen this movie before.
Tonight, the great pumpkin rises out of the pumpkin patch. He flies through the air and brings toys to all the children of the world.
That's a good story."
Kevin, the rapture and the coming of Jesus Christ is just like Linus and the coming of the great pumpkin. It's nothing but an absolute joke. No, it's not a joke. It's a fact. This isn't the great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. It's the rapture and Jesus Christ. This isn't just something that might happen one night every year. This is something that is definitely going to happen any second now. It's not about a pumpkin rising up. It's about a Savior coming down. And Jesus is not going to come for the people who are sincere. Jesus is only coming for the people who are saved. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here. Verse 13, "For the Lord Himself," notice, not an angel, not one of His peeps, not the DoorDash guy, "the Lord Himself is coming for His church. And He's not going to text, He's not going to Zoom it. He's coming to do what? To descend from heaven." Notice the verse does not say Jesus steps down all the way onto the earth. How far down does He come? Verse 17, only in the air. And there's going to be a loud trumpet call. How loud? Loud enough to wake the dead. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that means all the graves and the caskets of all the dead in Christ are going to bust open. And it won't be the invasion of the body snatchers. It'll be what's called the first resurrection. He said, well, Kevin, I thought the righteous dead were already in heaven. They are. With temporary resurrection bodies like Jesus had before He ascended. But notice verse 14. The Lord will bring with Him all those who have fallen asleep in Him. So as those believers coming down, the old bodies are going up. They're going to get brand new, permanent, glorified bodies. Just like Jesus has in heaven right now. So the dead in Christ are not going to miss the rapture. In fact, they're going to rise first. And why? That's easy. Because they've got 6 feet further to go. My grandma, Marie Garls, born again Christian, prayed for me. Wrote me letters all through college to keep me going. She passed away and went to be with Jesus 10 years ago in 2013. I never got to see her before she died. But I am going to see her then. And then what's going to happen to the rest of us? The rest of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We have liftoff, people. And then what's going to happen then? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than it takes you to bat your eye, 2/100ths of a second, we're going to get brand new, permanent, glorified bodies too. And folks, I have to tell you, I can't wait. Because at this point in my life, I don't care about buns of steel. I just want to get the lead out. July 2021, billionaires Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos spent $6 billion on two rockets to blast them 55 miles out into space for a 10-minute ride. And tickets for the people who went along with them cost $28 million apiece. And the only thing I can say is big, hairy deal. Because any second now, Jesus is going to take us on a trip all the way through space, all the way to heaven for absolutely nothing. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're going to heaven without dying first, people. Jesus is coming down. We're going up. Beam me up, Scotty. We're going extraterrestrial. That's what the rapture is all about. And of course, the world today thinks the rapture is just a joke. See the bumper sticker? Come the rapture, can I have your car? See the other bumper sticker? In case of rapture, this vehicle will continue to have a driver. Mocking the idea of the rapture. Thinking it's a good thing to miss the rapture. Because they have no clue what kind of hell on earth it's going to be down here after the rapture comes. Notice, not one single word in this text about dead unbelievers rising. Because they stay in hell all the way to the great white throne judgment. The world does not believe in the rapture. CNN. Says all this Christian talk about the rapture is causing people to have what's called rapture anxiety. All kinds of depression and fear and worry about being left behind. Well, I've got a solution for that. Betsy Reed, Guardian magazine, said this. All the talk about the rapture and all the books like the Left Behind series and movies like The Rise of Antichrist with Kevin Sorbo cause people unbelievable stress and fear and dangerous feelings of abandonment. And I say, good. If unbelievers are freaked out about the rapture, maybe that'll get them to do the right thing, to do what they're supposed to do and pray to receive Christ and get saved. The world does not believe the rapture. And sadly enough, too many Christians don't believe it either. Because I get the letters and emails. Kevin, you honestly believe that one day, all of a sudden, we're just going to fly out of here straight up to heaven as I live and breathe. Well, Kevin, the word rapture isn't even mentioned in the Bible. Neither is the word Trinity. But we know that's real. The Greek word for rapture is harpazo. And it literally means to catch up or snatch away. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds. What in the world else is that prophesying? The Cubs winning the World Series in 2016? But Kevin, the rapture of the church, it's the same thing as the second coming of Christ. It's not two different events. It's the same thing. No, it's not. The rapture happens at the start of the tribulation. The second coming in Armageddon happens at the end of the tribulation. The rapture, Jesus only comes down as far as the clouds. The second coming, He comes down all the way to the earth. The rapture, Jesus comes for the church. The second coming, He comes with the church. the rapture, we Christians are going to heaven. The second coming, we Christians are coming down to earth to help establish His kingdom. Do you see the huge differences between the rapture and the second coming of Christ at Armageddon? Well, Kevin, 1 Thessalonians 4, this is the only place in the entire Bible that even talks maybe about a rapture. Are you kidding me? The Bible gives us all kinds of raptures, all through the Bible as a preview. Enoch was raptured to heaven. Elijah was raptured to heaven in a fiery chariot. Jesus was raptured when He ascended into heaven. Paul was caught up in the third heaven. The two witnesses will be raptured. During the great tribulation, I could go on and on. People, one day it's going to be us. Well, Kevin, I just don't believe in the rapture. That's okay. You will. When you're flying past Neptune and Pluto and out of the Milky Way at warp 9, you will. You'll believe it. And I know there's somebody hearing this right now saying, Kevin, I'm afraid of flying. So am I. But you know what? I also trust in the Lord. One of the first times I ever flew in my life was back in 1992, coming home from Christmas from my internship at the church in Iowa. Went to the little dinky airport in Fort Dodge, Iowa, two runways. I think the guy running it was Mr. Haney on Green Acres. And my plane was an 18-passenger puddle jumper, and the pilot looked like he was about 12 years old. And everybody warned me, the smaller the plane, the more you feel the turbulence. And they weren't kidding, because I was white-knuckling all the way to Minneapolis. And then the pilot comes over the intercom and he says, in case you're interested, to the left is Clear Lake, Iowa, where Buddy Holly was killed. Yeah, Buddy Holly was killed in a plane crash. What are you telling us that for? Got to Minneapolis, got on a 747 to Chicago, where Sue and her brothers are going to pick me up. And I had read that a 747 without fuel or passengers weighs 433,000 pounds. And I knew, I just knew there was no way in the world anything that heavy was ever going to be able to get up in the air and stay there. But it did. After Christmas, flew back from Chicago to Minneapolis, and by the time I got back on that 18-passenger death trap to Fort Dodge, it was already 5 o'clock in the afternoon and getting dark. And not only that, it was so foggy you couldn't see 3 feet in front of you. And I thought, there's no way this plane is ever going to get back to Fort Dodge. And the guy sitting next to me was absolutely freaking out because he'd never flown before and he was scared to death about the fog. So I just started praying, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms, from Deuteronomy. And every time we hit some turbulence, the guy next to me would say, we're not going to make it, we're not going to make it. And the fog was so thick, we couldn't even see any lights out the window. And the turbulence kept getting worse and worse. And the guy next to me kept having a cow. So I just kept praying, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms. Then the pilot came over the intercom again, and I thought he was saying, brace for impact, because we're going to crash. But instead he just said, Fort Dodge Airport in 10 minutes. And that made me feel a little bit better. But by that time, the guy next to me was having a baby, and the turbulence just kept getting worse and worse. And then the pilot came on the intercom again, and he said, because the weather is so bad, freezing rain, we're going to have to circle the airport for a while. Freezing rain, that could build up on the wings, that could cause us to crash. And the turbulence just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And we were flying in circles over and over again. And the guy next to me, he looks at me and he said, we're going to death spiral. We're in a death spiral. We're going to crash. So finally I bowed my head and started praying with my eyes closed. The Lord is your eternal refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are His everlasting arms. And the guy looks at me and he says, what are you doing? And I said, I'm praying. And he said, well, who are you? I said, I'm a pastor. You know what he said? Well, I'll be damned. No, let's hope not. So I started talking to the guy about the Lord and telling him that God was good. And when you're in trouble, you can pray and cry out to Him and God will help you. And I started praying with him, and that really calmed him down. Before we knew it, the plane had landed. We were on terra firma. All was well. There wasn't anything wrong with that plane. Just the devil wanting us to think there was. Christians, listen to me. In these last days, we're going to, at the end of the church age, we're going to see all kinds of bad things a rocking and a rolling all around us. But the good news is, if you're a Christian and you're trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation, any second now, you're going to be on flight 777, Rapture Express, Titus 213 Airlines, with all the other Christians who have ever lived and died. And there's not going to be anything wrong with that plane. The devil just wants you to think there is. And God isn't going to have any problem getting it off the ground. And there's not going to be any weather, any fog, any turbulence. There's not going to be any barf bags. Nothing is going to crash and burn because instantly, just like that, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going nonstop direct to Holy City itself. And it's not going to cost you anything because Jesus already paid the price for the ride of your life. And everybody's going first class. And you don't have to worry that you missed that plane already because it's still boarding right now. The only question is, do you have your ticket, your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for the salvation of your soul? The first thing we need to understand about the rapture is what it is. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to understand about the rapture. Not only what it is, but why it's going to happen. And that's also what Paul is hinting at here in verses 13 to 18. Christians, there's going to be a rapture because there's no way in the world that you and I are ever going to get to heaven with physical bodies like we have right now. The temperature up there, just on the dark side of the moon, is 387 degrees below zero. You go any higher up in space than 22,000 feet, you will die of hypoxia and oxygen deprivation. 1,000,000 miles closer to the sun, our blood would boil. 1987, a man named Larry Walters from Pasadena, California, Lawn Chair Larry, they called him, tied 45 weather balloons to a lawn chair, grabbed a bologna sandwich and a six-pack of Miller Lite, and floated 11,000 feet above the surface of the earth before a Coast Guard helicopter had to rescue him over the Pacific Ocean because he was freezing to death. Christians, the reason there's going to be a rapture is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We've got to be changed. There's going to be a rapture so God can finally deal with Israel. And I know there's a lot of Christians in the Church of Jesus Christ today that don't like Israel. But listen to me. You don't understand Israel. You're not going to understand diddly squat about Bible prophecy. 4,000 years before the birth of Christ, God chose Abraham and his descendants, the Jewish people, to bring the Messiah and salvation to the world. And God did not choose them because there was anything special about it. Not because of their beach bodies or their TikTok likes. God chose them simply because He loved them. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. And God also gave them the land of Israel as an everlasting possession. Genesis chapter 17, verse 8. And everlasting means forever. And what kind of covenant does God have with the Jewish people? An unconditional covenant, which means there are no conditions the Jewish people have to meet. Which means that covenant does not depend on the Jewish people keeping their promises to do things for the Lord. That covenant only depends on God keeping His promises to do things for the Jewish people. And God always, always keeps His promises. Because Psalm chapter 105, verse 8, God says, I will never forget the covenant with my people, ever. Ever. When the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, God started the church at Pentecost. Then He allowed the Romans to destroy the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And for centuries, the Jewish people were scattered all over the world till 1948. When God fulfilled all kinds of end times Bible prophecy and Israel became a nation again. And then they had to fight like hell. One war survival after another against all the Muslim nations around them that wanted to destroy it. And a lot of Muslims in Israel did not want to live in a Jewish nation. But instead of the Muslim countries around Israel taking those people in, they purposely held those Muslims in refugee camps in Israel. As political pawns against the Jewish people and to breed generations of terrorists to wipe the Jewish people out. Like the so-called Palestinians. Folks, we got to realize there is no such thing as a Palestinian. Because there never has been any time throughout the history of the world, anywhere in the world, and especially in the land of Israel, a nation of Palestine. So it's not like the Jews moved in and kicked the Palestinians out. Palestinians don't exist, they're just Arabs. And most of them are Muslims. The name Palestine is what the Romans gave to the land of Israel as a racial slur just to stick it to the Jews. And that's why a two-state solution is never going to work in the Middle East. It's never going to work in Israel. A Palestinian state next to a Jewish state because the so-called Palestinians don't want a Jewish state to exist at all. They just want the Jews dead. Back in 2005, Israel gave the Gaza Strip to the so-called Palestinians. What did the Palestinians do with it? They took a garden spot of the world that was exporting vegetables and flowers all over the planet and turned it into an absolute hellhole, and they've been using it as a launching pad to fire rockets into Israel ever since. But in spite of that, God has miraculously, through all the war and all the terrorism, God has miraculously preserved the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. You say, well, Kevin, they don't deserve it. Do tell. During COVID, Israel went all Dr. Fauci with COVID vaccines and vaccine passports. Tel Aviv today is the sodomite capital of the world. Every single hospital in Israel right now does third trimester abortions. One generation removed from the Holocaust, they are slaughtering unborn babies in the womb. So why are they staying there? Because Israel has something that no other country in the history of the whole wide world has ever had before or has now. An unconditional covenant with God. Psalm chapter 94 verse 14 in the Hebrew says this. I will not reject my people no matter what they have done. That's what the Bible says. You may not like what the Bible says, but that is what the Bible says. There's going to be a rapture to get us Christians the heck out of here for what's coming next. A time of trouble, Jesus says, Matthew 24:21, the likes of which the world has never seen before and will never see again. A 7-year period called the Great Tribulation, when God is going to rain down holy hell judgment on this world for rejecting Jesus Christ. And we Christians are not going to have to suffer that, because 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9 says, we have not been appointed unto wrath. During the tribulation, the pure wrath of God is going to be poured out in this world. And we Christians are not going to have to suffer that, because Jesus Christ took that kind of pure wrath of God on Himself on the cross 2,000 years ago and suffered for it for us so that we wouldn't have to. Jesus does what? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10, He saves us from the wrath to come. So Christians are not a part of the tribulation, because the tribulation is not for Christians. The tribulation is for unbelieving Gentiles and especially for the Jewish people. And why the Jewish people? Because God says, Isaiah chapter 48 verse 10, I will try them in the furnace of affliction. For what purpose? What reason? Romans chapter 11 verse 25, that their hearts may change and all Israel will be saved. Christians don't go through the tribulation, folks. Not one nanosecond of it. There is not one verse anywhere in your Bible about Christians living under the Antichrist. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble, not the time of John's trouble. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, Jesus tells John, come up here. He takes him into heaven as a picture of the rapture. Then chapters 4 through 19 of the book of Revelation describe all the judgments God's going to pour out during the tribulation. The church is not mentioned one single time in Revelation chapters 4 through 19, because the church is not on earth. The church has been raptured to heaven. Luke chapter 21 verse 36, Jesus says, watch and pray that you might escape what is about to happen on the earth. He doesn't say that you might endure and get through what is about to happen on the earth. He says that you might escape it. That escape is the rapture. So the rapture happens before the tribulation. It is a pre-tribulation rapture. Pre meaning it comes beforehand, before the rapture even starts. Some Christians want to say the rapture happens halfway through the tribulation, mid-trib. But Jesus doesn't do anything halfway. And it doesn't happen at the end either. Post-tribulation, after the tribulation, are you kidding me? That would mean us Christians would go up to heaven, immediately have to turn right around and come back down from heaven. And by that time, after the trouble and the tribulation's all over with, what's the point? Why bother? There's a morning train and there's an evening train. You want to be on that morning train. I'm going home on the morning train. I'm going home on the morning train. That evening train will be too late. I'm going home on the morning train. Who's coming with me? And here's the biggest objection that so many Christians have with a pre-trib rapture. I get volumes of emails from people. Thousands of pages of why the rapture does not happen before the tribulation. Here's the biggest problem they have with it. No pre-trib rapture. Noah didn't get taken out of the flood. Daniel didn't get taken out of the lion's den. The giants of the faith never got removed from suffering. Why do you Christians now think you're going to get removed from suffering? Why do you think you get a pass? Why do you think you deserve that? I don't think I deserve anything. I don't deserve anything but hell. I just happen to be a Christian living at the end of the church age who's going to be going through the rapture. That's all. And all you Christians listening to this sermon right now, and I know you are because you email me, hell-bent on believers going through the tribulation. What's the purpose of that? What's the point of Christians going through the tribulation? We haven't suffered enough. My dad, Robert Garner, died in a hospice bed in his living room. 25 years ago, this coming Thanksgiving Day, after suffering for 17 months with a brain tumor. My dad never went through the Great Tribulation. My dad didn't suffer enough. Here sits Jenny Wallach. She's been walking with Jesus her entire life. You telling me what? She's got to be tortured by the Antichrist to get saved and go to heaven? She's got to have a devil point a gun to her head? She's got to have somebody rip her fingernails out to prove that she won't deny Christ? She's not denying Christ now. Amen. There's going to be a rapture to get the Christians out of the way of the Great Tribulation. There's going to be a rapture to set up the very next thing that's going to happen in Bible prophecy. Something the Bible calls the Battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. When a coalition of nations in the Middle East and from the North invade Israel to try to destroy her. Your Bible says those nations are Gog, Magog, Persia, Beth Togarmah, Meshech, Tubal, Cush. And today those nations are Russia, Iran, Turkey, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Turkmenistan, Magazinestan, all kinds of nations. And especially Russia, Iran, and Turkey. And here's the crazy thing. Throughout the history of the world, those three countries have never had anything to do with each other any more than the man in the moon. But look at what they're doing today. All the leaders, Vladimir Putin and the Ayatollah Khomeini and Recep Erdogan, the president of Turkey, have all kinds of pacts signed together now and all kinds of agreements signed. Their countries have been doing joint military exercises since January of 2020, preparing for a battle. Gee, I wonder which one. Turkey is buying oil from Russia and also weapons. Iran is making all the drones that Russia is using in Ukraine right now. I could go on and on. Here's the kicker. All three of those nations hate Israel with a purple prickly pear passion. Vladimir Putin has already threatened to invade Israel twice from Ukraine. Iran now has a Mohajer drone that can reduce entire towns and villages into Israel to rubble with the flip of a switch. And get this. They've all signed a treaty now that if Israel attacks any single one of those nations, the other two will throw every single thing that they have to wipe out the Jewish people. Folks, every single thing that needs to be in place for the Battle of Gog and Magog to kick off is already in place. And don't tell me that Israel isn't this close to kicking it off. Last Saturday, October the 7th, hundreds of Hamas terrorists from Gaza attacked 22 different Jewish towns in southwest Israel by land, sea, and air, with everything from drones to rockets and everything in between. And they roamed through neighborhoods and went door to door, kidnapping people, mostly just murdering them. They murdered Jewish parents in front of their kids. They murdered Jewish kids in front of their parents. They locked old people in their houses and burned them alive. Last Monday, IDF found 40 Jewish babies who'd had their heads cut off. My God, people, you're talking about evil. Hamas terrorists paraglided into a peace concert in the desert and shot 260 young Jewish people and killed them and raped the women as they were dying on the ground next to the bodies of their dead friends. Then they put some of the hostages and some of the dead in the back of pickup trucks and drove them up and down the streets of Gaza while the Muslims were celebrating like crazy. All told, over 1,200 Jewish people were killed. At least 24 Americans were killed. 150 hostages taken. The worst single one-day attack against Jewish people since the Holocaust. People, this was Israel's 9/11. And for a lot of us, the worst attack against Jewish people we have ever seen in our lifetime. So last Monday, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared a war of extinction on Hamas. And the IDF invaded Gaza to clear out the rat's nest once and for all. And now 350,000 Israeli soldiers are killing terrorists by the hundreds. And of course, right away, right on cue, everybody and his brothers start slamming the Jews. The same day the massacre was going on. The same day those people were being killed. A CNN reporter said this, the real problem is how Israel is going to respond to this. So Israel is the real problem. The same day that IDF invaded Gaza to go after the terrorists, U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken and Nod started calling for a ceasefire. A ceasefire. You're trying to eradicate evil. There is no ceasefire. There's no peace. There's no truce. No mercy. No quarter. The United States is supposed to be the biggest ally that Israel has. And get this, just two days after the attack, the squad, all the Democrat socialists in Congress, Bernie Sanders and AOC and Rashida Tlaib, organized a pro-Palestinian rally in New York City. New York City has the biggest Jewish population of any city in the entire world. And people in the crowd were flashing swastikas and making the Nazi salute. And they call us MAGA people fascists. Here's what one of the speakers said.
We're done being tortured and hurt and judged. This is the correct religion. This is the religion that all of humanity needs to be upon of Islam. And we will not stop until it enters every home. So I want you to repeat after me. I want to hear it in every single district. It should tremble. Brooklyn should hear it. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. Say it as if the Ummah depends on this, my brothers and sisters. La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah, the God of Jesus, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, and the God of...
Plug in the very religion that was behind those attacks. And did you hear all the Muslims yelling Allahu Akbar, which means God is great? Listen. If raping dead girls and cutting off babies' heads is what makes your God great, then your God is the devil himself. The world is on fire, people. Good heavens, Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore. And the response from the rest of the world was even worse. Sydney, Australia. Protesters in front of the opera house there started chanting, gas the Jews, gas the Jews. Remember after the Holocaust and World War II when everybody said, we will never forget, we will never forget, they forgot. Remember when the war in Ukraine started, everybody and their brother was putting Ukrainian flags in their yard and all over their house, all over their social media page. Do you see a lot of Israeli flags in people's yards and all over their houses, social media pages? Of course not. And folks, why is all this happening right now? Why are we seeing all this black-hearted Jew hate at this point? I'll tell you why. Because we're living in the last days. And God is preparing the Middle East for the coming of the Antichrist. And He is giving us a preview of what it's going to be like for the Jewish people during the Great Tribulation when all the nations of the world are gathered against Him. And do we understand what this means prophetically as far as Bible prophecy goes on the last days? Right now, an Islamic terrorist organization called Hezbollah is shelling Israel from Lebanon. And Israel has told Syria if they don't stop supplying the rockets to Hezbollah, they will turn Damascus into a pile of rubble and they will take out Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad. And Israel has also told Iran if they find proof that Iran was really behind those attacks on October the 2nd, they will turn Tehran into a parking lot. And the State Department tells us this, in two weeks, Iran will have a functioning nuclear missile. If I was you, I'd be looking up. Because Israel attacks Iran. Russia, Iran, Turkey throw everything they have at Israel. They invade. Good night, Irene and Chi-Chi Bug. That's all she wrote. Battle of Gog and Magog. Here we come. Just exactly like the Bible says. And what happens right before the Battle of Gog and Magog starts? The rapture of the church. Don't tell me. We're not this close. The second thing we need to understand about the rapture is why it's going to happen. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to understand about the rapture. Not only what it is, not only why it's going to happen, but third, when it happens. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in verses 13 to 18. Now we know where the second coming happens. That's going to happen at the end of the tribulation during the Battle of Armageddon. But when is the rapture going to happen? I'll tell you. Any second now. Because it's the very next thing on God's prophetic timeline. No other prophecy needs to be fulfilled. Nothing else has to happen before the rapture happens. any second now. And if you don't believe me, take one look at what's happening in this country right now and tell me that I'm wrong. Everybody and his brother celebrating the slaughter of the Jews. University of Wisconsin, students were chanting, glorify the martyrs, glorify the martyrs. And of course they were not talking about the Jewish people who died at the hands of the Hamas terrorists. They were glorifying the Hamas terrorists who died in the process of killing the Jewish people. Last Thursday, a group called Students for Justice in Palestine organized pro-Palestinian protests all over college campuses all over this country. Radical Jew hate like you and I have not seen since Europe in World War II. Folks, this is the worst, the most clueless generation this country has ever produced. And did you catch the Kill the Jew rally last Wednesday night? Here's one of the speakers.
This rally is about giving the Palestinian people a voice in the midst of crisis. Messages delivered with passion.
They left a fire in our hearts that will burn that state until it's...
Folks, that wasn't Gaza. That wasn't the West Bank. That was Dearborn, Michigan. Praising the animals that raped dead girls and cut babies' heads off. And what's even scarier... What stays in Israel, what happens in Israel, doesn't stay in Israel. Last Good Friday, Hamas called for a global day of jihad for Muslims all over the world to rise up and kill non-Muslims and pull law enforcement in America were put on high alert. And you know why? Because the last 3 years under the Biden administration, U.S. immigration has caught 72,893 special interest men from the Middle East and then released tens of thousands of them into this country. Over the last 3 years of the Biden administration, there's been 1.7 million, they call them getaways. Aliens who showed up at the U.S. border, who were supposed to be detained by authorities, who got away. And now are in this country, nobody knows where they're going, nobody has any idea what they're doing. How many Hamas sleeper cells are operating in America right now? And you think Joe Biden's going to protect you? 2 weeks ago, Joe Biden proposed what he called a forever payment of $100 billion to keep funding the war in Ukraine through the 2024 election. And yet last Wednesday, the Biden administration told Americans who were stranded in Israel, if the U.S. military has to come and rescue them, the Americans have to foot the bill for it. They've got to pay for it. $100 billion for an endless, insane war in Ukraine, but Americans, you're on your own. And why is this madness happening in this country? I'll tell you why. Genesis chapter 12, verse 12. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. You don't think the rapture's coming? You don't think it's right around the corner? You don't think it's going to happen any second? You don't think the angels are warming up right now with their trumpets? Ever since last spring, people all over the world have been reporting that they're hearing strange sounds coming out of the sky.
Guys, what is going on?
Strange sounds are being heard around the world. In Sweden, this sure sounds like a trumpet. In Michigan, another trumpet-like sound.
Why? That sounds like a trumpet. You don't think the angels are warming up and rehearsing for the command performance? Well, did you hear that? Anybody else hear a trumpet, or is it just me? The rapture is so close. It could happen any time. It could happen before this church service is over. The rapture is so close, it could happen before, while I'm still preaching this sermon. And do you realize if that happens, faster than you can bat your eye, your body will be instantly transformed into a spiritual body with royal garments. And before your clothes even have a chance to slink down into the seat, you will be airborne and catapulted through this ceiling straight to glory. Everybody stand up where you're at. Everybody stand up right where you are. You'll be glad you did. Take a second here. Stretch it out. Raise your arms above your head. Get the blood circulating. Okay, now everybody sit down again. You know what we just did? We had rapture practice. Just in case. Because you got to be ready. And I know there's people here in this sermon right now, you're thinking the trillion-dollar question. Kevin, I am not a Christian. I'm not going to be taken in the rapture. Can you still get saved after the rapture comes? Let me ask you a question. Do you have any idea what this world is going to be like after the rapture happens? Calls will come in to the LaSalle County Sheriff's Department because Fox River Church is empty. The sanctuary is filled with clothes, but all the people are gone. I always knew there was something funny about that church. And then reports will come in of people missing all over the world because two will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two will be watching Wheel of Fortune, one will be taken, and the other will be left. A wife will reach over at night in bed to touch her husband. Her husband won't be there, but his skivvies will be. Nurses will run screaming out of hospitals all over the world because all the babies in maternity wards have disappeared. Police will investigate car and truck accidents all over the planet, but there won't be any people inside. Airplanes will crash to the ground. Passengers screaming to their death because the pilots will be gone. And it will happen all over the world. And Joe Biden will blame Donald Trump and MAGA and white supremacy. And the U.S. military will be put on high alert. Every nation in the world will declare a state of emergency. The United Nations will meet in emergency session and start talking about UFOs and possible alien abduction. And you'll hear about it and you'll run back home. But your Bible-believing, tongue-talking, devil-stomping mama will be gone. Teenager, you'll hear about it. You'll run home early from the party, but your Christian parents will be gone. Your little brother who loves going to Sunday school will be gone. Your church will be gone. Your fundamentalist hellfire and brimstone preacher will be gone. Kevin Garner will be gone. Your grandmother that prayed over you from the day you were born that you would get saved and walk with Jesus, she'll be gone. Your wife who begged you every Sunday morning to go to church with her and you never did, she'll be gone. All your friends who witnessed to you and texted you devotions and scriptures that you should read and asked you to receive Christ over and over again, they'll be gone. So let me ask you, if you can't get saved right now with all the godly people and their godly influence in their life, how in the world do you think you're going to get saved then when all those godly people and godly influence is gone and the Holy Spirit is not operating in the same offices that He is right now? Can you get saved after the rapture? Let me ask you, are you willing to die for it? Because the Bible says the Antichrist will kill you for your profession of faith. We've got a girl right now who will not come to this church anymore because what we preach and teach and stand for here at Fox River embarrasses her in front of her friends. If you can't get saved now when it's going to cost you friends, how in the world are you going to get saved after the rapture when it's going to cost you your life? If you're not brave enough to stand up to your drinking buddies and get saved, how in the world are you going to be brave enough to stand up to the Antichrist when he's got a gun to your head or a knife to your throat? And he's threatening to kill your children in front of your eyes and your kids are screaming their lungs out because they're scared out of their minds. And you say, Kevin, you're being too dramatic. Listen to me. I do not have the ability to be dramatic enough to tell you what kind of hell on earth it's going to be down here after the rapture. Listen to me. Your best chance of getting saved is now. Your best chance of coming to Christ is right now before the rapture comes. You've got a chance now. Listen to me. You have no idea how many more you're going to get. Last August, all kinds of wildfires on the island of Maui were torching everything in sight. And hardest hit was the town of Lahaina, where flames driven by 80-mile-an-hour winds reduced almost everything to ashes and killed over 150 people. And that fire spread so fast, people burned up in their houses because before they even knew it was coming. And people burned up in their cars before they could even evacuate and leave town. And here's what's even sadder. Hawaii is famous all over the planet for having the best emergency warning system in the entire world. 400 sirens on towers for everything from earthquakes to tsunamis to floods to hurricanes and everything in between. The island of Maui, the second biggest island in the chain, has 80 of those emergency warning towers. But here's the problem. As that flyer was racing toward Lahaina, torching everything in sight, one of the biggest mysteries of this entire disaster, none of those sirens went off. Not one of them. Hawaii emergency services sent people warnings on their phone, by radio and television, but most people never got those warnings. Because by the time the warnings were sent, the power lines and all the cell towers had burned up and damaged too bad. 911 didn't even work. Hawaii Emergency Services has a handbook to tell you all the procedures to follow in case of an earthquake, a tsunami, a hurricane, or a flood. But absolutely nothing about wildfires. Nobody expected it to happen because it had never happened before. So most people on the island of Maui, Tiny Lahaina, never got any warning at all. Maui Police Chief John Pelletier said nobody saw this coming. And people, that fire was hell on earth. And for most people, it was on them, just like that. And roads out of Lahaina were barricaded and blocked with power company trucks because the power lines were down. And the fire kept taking more and more of the town. And roads were so packed, people just got out of their cars and tried to get out of town on bicycles and skateboards. Other people just took off running, not having any idea where they should be running to. Other people just ran and jumped in the Pacific Ocean. Even though they avoided the fire and the water, a lot of them still died because they breathed in so much smoke, they died later on from smoke inhalation. One family got so desperate, they just drove around the barricades with flames all around them. And this is what it looked like as they drove through it.
We're almost to the end of the mill. We're almost to the smokestack.
Oh, we made it. We found, we're going to line on the road now pretty soon. But we don't know.
You know what the first thought in her mind was? You know what was on everybody's mind when they were trying to get out of town and out of the way of the fire any way they could think of? Their first thought was, why didn't I get out sooner? Why didn't I get out earlier? Days earlier, even hours earlier. Why didn't I get out sooner? Because now it's too late and we're not going to make it. People, look at that fire. Because the Bible says if you're not a Christian, you're not going to get out of here in the rapture. That's exactly what you're going to be facing. The Bible warns us over and over again that the great tribulation is about fire. Lots and lots of fire. Revelation chapter 8 verse 7 warns us over and over again. During the great tribulation, one third of the planet is going to burn up. And one third of all the people on the planet are going to burn up. And the Bible warns us over and over again that fire judgment is going to come suddenly, as fast as lightning flashes from the east to the west. But see, nobody will expect it to happen. Because nothing like that has ever happened before. Kevin, end of the world. Great tribulation. One third of the planet being burned up. Are you out of your mind? People, listen to me. It will happen. And it will come so fast, there is no warning system that's going to be able to tip you off or give you any kind of an indication. Because all the warning systems are going to burn up too. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You're not saved. You're not a Christian. There is no man-made warning system in the whole wide world that is going to be able to operate in the fire of the great tribulation. Because it's going to be too late. And you know what the first thought in your mind is going to be when that fire is on top of you? Why didn't I get out sooner? Why didn't I get out earlier? Days, even hours earlier. Why didn't I listen to the warning? Why didn't I get out sooner? Because now it's too late. I'm not going to make it. And you'll be right. But here's the good news. Great tribulation hasn't started yet. And you're not burning up yet. So you still have a chance to escape. You know why? Because there is still a warning system that is still operating. And it's never going to fail. And it's not electrical. It's not digital. It's not some siren on a tower. It's not natural. That warning system is supernatural. It is right here. It is the Word of God speaking through this dumpy little preacher right now who doesn't care in the least who calls me crazy in these last days. Listen to me. God loves you more than you can ever imagine. 2,000 years ago, He put His Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross to pay the price for your sin and raise Him from the dead to guarantee your salvation if you just accept it, so you wouldn't have to be lost. And even though Jesus is coming with blazing fire to burn this world to the ground, out of His grace and love and mercy, He is still offering you a chance to escape. And that escape comes from receiving Jesus Christ into your heart. Today, you need to confess your sin to God. You need to put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away. And you need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. There's people in this church right now. You've been here for years. You've been here for months. You're still not saved and you know it. You're not right with God and you know it. And you don't want to go through hell in the end. You don't want to go through the hell on earth of the great tribulation. And you know in your heart, Jesus Christ is your only escape. Today, after this service is over, you need to get up out of your seat. You need to come to the front of this church. Pray with somebody. And give your heart and your life and your soul to Jesus Christ. And He will save you from the coming wrath as well. Listen to me. This is a warning. For some of you, this is just the next in line of many, many warnings you've got before about what's coming if you miss the rapture. I don't have a melodramatic bone in my body, but there are people listening to me right now. This is the last warning you are ever going to get. Today is your day. Christians, listen to me. It is so easy in these last days, at the end of the church age, when everything is so big and bad and dark and scary and evil, to lose sight of the rapture. It is so easy to listen to the people in the world to make fun of it. It is so easy to listen to other Christians in the church who don't believe it's ever going to happen. Because they're trying to steal your joy. They're trying to take your hope away. They're trying to get you to drop your crown. But Christians, there is a rapture. This is our blessed hope. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is going to happen. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you, catch you up, snatch you away, so that where I am, you may be also. We will see Him as He is. High and lifted up and glorified. And I know what everybody's thinking. Yes, your babies who are too young to make a decision for Christ, they will go with you. Now, your dogs and cats, your pets, you'll have to talk to the Lord about that. But folks, we're going. Listen to me. Jesus is near. Jesus is coming. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be home. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let's pray. There's a whole lot of people going home by the signs of times. It won't be very long. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll soon be gone. There's a whole lot of people going home. There will be so many people who are missing. You would think everybody would want to go, but they're all too busy going nowhere. And they're really gonna miss us down below. There's a whole lot of people going home. By the signs of times, it won't be very long. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll soon be gone. There's a whole lot of people going home. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just ask and pray that You would just give us faith and confidence more than ever before that You are going to take us out of here. You will save us from the wrath to come. Lord, we have staked our lives, our fortunes, our entire eternity on the promises that You have given us in Your Word. We stand on those promises. Even so, come Lord Jesus. All this we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.
Jesus, sing His mercy and His praise. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk a pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see sing and shout the victory. Let us stand be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day will sing and shout the victory.